Amen, and thank you, Susan and Jim. Our scripture lesson today comes from Genesis. I'll be reading from chapter 28, and I'll be reading verses 10 through 19a. Jacob left Beersheba and went toward Haran. He came to a certain place and stayed there for the night because the sun had set. Taking one of the stones of the place, he put it under his head and lay down in that place. And he dreamed that there was a ladder set up on earth, the top of it reaching to heaven. And the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. And the Lord stood beside him, and he said, "I am the Lord God of Abraham, your father, and the God of Isaac. The land on which you lie, I will give to you and your offspring. And your offspring shall be like the dust of the earth, and you shall spread abroad to the west and to the east and to the north and to the south. And all the families of the earth shall be blessed in you and in your offspring. Know that I am with you, and I will keep you wherever you go, and bring you back to this land, for I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you." Then Jacob awoke from his sleep and said, "Surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it." And he was afraid and said, "How awesome is this place! This is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven." So Jacob rose early in the morning, and he took the stone that he had put under his head, and he set it up for a pillar and poured oil on the top of it. He called that place Bethel. Here ends the reading of the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Will you please pray with me? May the words of my mouth, the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, for you are our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. If I would take a poll, I think a majority of Americans would say that there just aren't that many messages from God these days. Divine communication just isn't that frequent. After all, this is the modern world, and we have many voices, a myriad of messages, and most of the visions we receive come to us through CBS and NBC and ABC and CNN and Fox. If we get a message, it's usually through the auspices of the internet. Well, today's text talks about a message Jacob received. Now, Jacob had been busy with his schemes. He was a scoundrel. He was always trying to trick, attempting to fool, manipulate people to take advantage of them. Take, for example, his dealings with, well, his family. With his poor old father, Isaac, blind and on the deathbed, Jacob has the audacity to get dressed up like his brother and trick the old man by wearing furry clothing to fool his blind father into blessing him rather than his hairy brother, thus grabbing all the money, all the inheritance that should have gone to Esau. Jacob, he's a sneaky guy. Well, at least that's the polite way to describe him. That's the way Jacob made it through life, through the world, by hook or by crook. Nothing better than to put one over on his poor, dumb old brother Esau. Jacob was a heel. So his brother Esau says to him, "You know, after Dad's funeral, we're going to have a talk, you and I, behind the barn, if you know what I mean." Well, can you blame Esau? Jacob gets out of town just in the nick of time, slipping out the back door of the funeral home, and now he's a fugitive. He's on the exile. He's on the lamb. He had wanted more than anything else to inherit the old man's estate, to have it all, to supplant his brother's inheritance. And now look at him, out there in the middle of nowhere, Beersheba and Haran, which is really nowhere. He's far away from anything as you can get. And without family protection or support, he's banished. He's alone. He's vulnerable. And that's where we take up the saga of Jacob today. It's the nighttime when wild beasts are roaming, and Jacob prepares to sleep with nothing but a hard stone for his pillow. Can you imagine, as you can imagine, that the sleep of an exile is a restless sleep, alone, vulnerable, between nowhere and no place. Have you ever slept like that, like Jacob? Far from home with what seemed like a stone for a pillow? Did you ever find yourself somewhere between Timbuktu and Kingdom Come? Well, this is a story about us. With his defenses down, now the striver, the grabber, is no more. He's defenseless, alone at night, and Jacob sleeps, and he tosses and turns, I imagine, and he dreams. And what a dream! We sung the song before at summer camp. We are climbing Jacob's ladder. We are climbing Jacob's ladder. We are climbing Jacob's ladder, soldiers of the cross. Every round goes higher, higher. Every round goes higher, higher. Every round goes higher, higher, soldiers of the cross. Now, Freud first noted that among the functions of dream is recall from past events in our lives, especially painful events that tend to just bubble up in our subconscious as we sleep. Well, if that's true, because of the way he tricked people and the way he just dealt with life, what a dream Jacob should have had. But remember this, is Jacob. Regret over the way he fooled his old man? Forget about it. Guilt over how he bamboozled his brother out of inheritance? Don't count on it. Jacob sleeps like a baby and has a technicolor dream about a ladder. And not just any ladder, it's a great ladder. And some translations actually call it a ramp or a staircase. And it's thrown down from heaven right at the feet of where Jacob sleeps. And the text says, "And the angels of God were ascending and descending." It was a two-way staircase, with angels traveling from earth to heaven with prayers and such. And the messengers are not only carrying messages to heaven, prayers, but also from heaven to earth with a word of God. Some of the most horrible times in my life, the worst times in my life, times when I was racked with worry, when I was uncertain about the future. The future just seemed like a plague that was killing my soul. When it seemed like I had a stone for a pillow, I've had dreams. And as I look back, I go, wow, God was there. I imagine if you're at all like me, you've had times that were so difficult, you want to just bury your head under the pillow and sleep forever. But life calls us onward. And so we adjust our sails. It's just that most of our dreaming is a one-way street. We're trying to catch an angel who will take our messages up to heaven, to God. That's why this morning I want us to note something that's often forgotten in this story. There are angels descending. Jacob has had a dream a dream that he'd be running the family business and big dumb brother Esau would be waxing Jacob's BMW. Jacob has been sending that dream to heaven, that message, for a long time. God, give me stuff. Make me powerful. You might recognize that dream, as it's often the American dream. Each of us know it well. God, give me stuff and make me powerful. We've perfected that dream. We would almost do anything to make it a reality. God, give me, make me. And so when we pray, we talk mostly about, well, ourselves, our needs, fulfillment of our dreams, our desires. But angels were descending on that ladder so that Jacob has a dream that's not just his. It's not just his dream. It's God's dream, and God has him. God will not let Jacob go until God has God's way with him, until Jacob is transformed. Jacob dreams that God will transform him. Now, Jacob's a dreamer, but so is God. And like most of us, it takes a while for God's dream for Jacob to take effect. Jacob awakens, and after being promised in the dream of God's steadfast commitment, Jacob says this to God. Okay, God, well, have I got a deal for you, God? Yeah, just wait until you hear this one, God. If you will clothe me, if you will feed me, if you'll take care of me, if you'll give me all this land, I'm going to let you be my God. Yeah. Can you believe this guy? There's no limit to his scheming. But there will be another night beside a shadowy river in Jacob's near future when Jacob shall be encountered not by the dreams of angels, but by the hammerlock grip of a God determined to use Jacob for God's purposes rather than Jacob's. A God refusing to let go of Jacob until Jacob is transformed. That's another story for another day. For today, let's note that the claim of this story is a bold claim. A secular place, supremely self-confident, one-way traffic. What's the claim? Biblical scholar Walter Brueggemann says it this way. There is business between heaven and earth. Business between heaven and earth. That is, there's traffic between heaven and earth. We are not abandoned. Even the worst of us, even in our most morally tainted moments, there's business between heaven and earth. That old song doesn't tell it all. It's not just that we're climbing Jacob's ladder, no. Jacob's ladder is a two-way thoroughfare. Escalators going up and escalators coming down. Now, you may have thought you came to church this morning because you're busy reaching out to God. But in this story, with its angels descending, it suggests that God is also busy reaching out to you and to me wherever we are on our journey of faith. Our dreams are more than just wishful thinking. Sometimes our dreams are notions that only God could put in our heads, angels descending to us. Our dreams, even the best of them, that prod us to study so hard in school, to work ourselves half to death, are subject to divine intrusion so that our lives become disrupted and then reoriented, reshaped, transformed to God's dreams for us and for our lives. This story is about God's power to transform us. Even even when we think we don't need it. And so we find ourselves. We're somewhere. Sometimes it seems late at night, only a stone for a pillow. And to the unlikeliest of persons, now this is a story about Jacob, remember, in the most unlikely of places between Beersheba and Haran, we get a message from God. I am with you. I will keep you. I will bring you home. And when we awaken tomorrow, it's still going to be Sun City. It's going to be a Monday morning. And we're still going to be on our journey. But now, we are different. Having been surprised that even to us, at our very worst, the Word has become flesh and dwelt among us. Or as Jacob said centuries earlier, surely the Lord was in this place, and I didn't even know it. Thanks be to God.